So I've had an interesting several months. You know, I'm sure that all of us would say that. How many people had an interesting several months? In fact, if you remember at the beginning of this whole COVID thing, we were told, 6 to 8 weeks and it will be over. How many people remember that? And where are we now? 6 to 8 months, you know, and things are actually worse than they were before. You know, so this is very real, and it's affecting a lot of families, affecting a lot of individuals. This is a profound event happening in our lives. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a pretty positive kind of person, normally speaking, but it's having an impact on me. And about 2 weeks ago or so, my wife adopted a new name for me. She called me Grumpy Grandpa. And I'll be quite honest with you, I didn't like that new name that I received. And so I began to, you know, kind of look at myself and say, Lord, you know, does the name fit what's going on? And I had to honestly say, yeah, you know, there are a few times where I had a bit of an attitude, maybe short with my kids, you know, all kinds of different things with evidence. We're thinking about evidence, you know, evidence in a negative way that, you know, I wasn't doing very well. And so I began to ask the Lord, you know, what's going on? And essentially began to show me in my heart that I had lost my joy. Now, here's the thing. The scripture clearly says that no one can steal your joy. No one can steal it. But that doesn't mean we can't let it leak out of us. It doesn't mean that we can't kind of let it go, if you know what I'm saying. And so that's what had happened in my life. And so over the last week and a half or so, I began to seek the Lord to rediscover my joy. And as I looked around and began to talk to people, I found that they were having the same leaking joy problem in their lives. That they were, I don't know whether they were grumpy grandmas or grumpy grandpas or grumpy husbands, grumpy wives. You know, the point is that many people were being impacted by what was going on in the natural. How many people can kind of sense what I'm talking about and have that same sense maybe in your own lives that you're not as joyous as you used to be? But here's the thing, joy is not to be connected to our circumstances. It's not. Joy is of the spirit. Happiness is in the natural. Happiness is of the emotions. Happiness is connected to our feelings. But joy is actually connected to the supernatural. Happiness is natural. Joy is supernatural. So it's a different realm. It's a different thing to understand. And I dare say that most of us, including me, don't really have a good understanding of what joy is because we connect joy and happiness together. In fact, I'm going to say this before I go any further, that happiness can never lead to joy, but joy can lead to happiness. But the problem is what the world tries to do and what we often try to do as believers, even in the Lord, is that we pursue happiness thinking that will bring joy. It never will. It just cannot work that way. But if we pursue joy, that can lead to happiness. In other words, it will affect you in your emotions and you can be happy then. But here's the thing. I don't want my joy meter to be connected to my happy meter. Because if it is, what happens is you have a bad circumstance happen. Something goes wrong. All of a sudden, your happiness goes down, right? You get demoted at work. What happens to your happiness level? Boom. You know, your boss tells you, look, because of COVID, we have to cut some people. Or we can't pay you as much. But, you know, you can keep your health insurance, but we're not going to pay you as much. Is that going to make you happy? You know, party is like, well, okay, thanks, but you know, I'm not real happy. And so the point is happiness is affected by your circumstances. So joy should not be tethered to happiness. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about this. I believe, you know, the Lord's showing me some things. So on my joy meter, I'm out of the red zone now. I'm not in the green yet, but I'm moving in that direction, all right? And so the point is I want to maybe share some things that I've learned in my rediscovering of what joy really is. And it all begins, let me tell you where it all begins. In fact, you guys all know this. Pray that online you know this as well. It all begins with Jesus. Now, we're entering the Christmas season, and the series that we're starting is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so it's only appropriate that we read a Christmas-themed scripture to fit into this joy concept. So if you have your Bibles or your apps, if you will turn to Luke chapter 2. Let's have a look here. We have, you know, the whole account where Jesus is born, but then the angels show up, and that's where we're picking up the account. Luke 2, verses 8 to 12. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there was born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And if we go on and read, there's a whole company of angelic beings come along singing glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards all mankind. You know, it's amazing, right? But you see this connection, this correlation with joy. Here's Jesus just being born, you know what I'm saying? And they're already saying that it's going to be great joy to all people. Now, New International Version says this, it will cause great joy for all people. Both are good translations. The point is that with the birth of Jesus, joy is connected to that. And in a sense, that's our theme this morning, that I want you to see that your joy is directly connected to your relationship with Jesus. There's no other way to get joy other than to be connected with our Lord. And so how do we get there? You know, how do we come to a place of having this fullness of joy that the Scriptures talk about? Well, Jesus tells us. So let's look at Scripture and walk through a couple of Scriptures to show us how we can reclaim our joy, because it belongs. In fact, I want you to say this with me. Joy belongs to me. Amen? And that is so true. We need to choose joy. In fact, because joy is not an emotion or a feeling, it's actually a decision. And so you and I this morning can choose to walk in joy. And we're going to talk about how we can do that. So in your Bibles, if you go to John chapter 15, here's Jesus himself telling us how to have fullness of joy. Not just a little joy, not just a weeny bit of joy, but fullness of joy, the completeness, the perfectness of joy. So in John 15, beginning at verse 9, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." And so here we have Jesus speaking, and he begins his whole, you know, foundation in a sense of this, talking about love. And the word love here is the agape kind of love. There's four different Greek words for love, but this agape love is an unconditional kind of love. It's a love with no strings attached. In fact, it's the same word used in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life." Here's the thing, when Jesus quoted that scripture, no one had yet really believed upon him. He hadn't yet gone to the cross. So picture this in your mind. God loved the world that he gave. So it wasn't that God loved the world and he gave because we asked for it. It wasn't that God gave, that he loved us so much that he gave because we deserved it. In fact, the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so here's God demonstrating his love, no strings attached, through his Son. And we didn't earn it or deserve it. Isn't that amazing? So that's the kind of love that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about a love that is not a natural, it's not a human kind of love. It's supernatural. But then he goes on and says, you need to abide in my love. That word abide means to be in a place of expectancy. You see, God's love means action. Just as when he loved us and gave his Son, when we experience God's love, there's always a plan and a purpose of God with it. He doesn't just say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and we just keep hearing those words over and over again. But literally, it's word with action. You know, for Sandra and I, who've been married over 35 years now, if all I said was to her, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I never provided a paycheck for her to buy groceries, and we lived in a tent out in the woods somewhere, you begin to see that she might think I'm not loving her very well. And it's the same with God. When he says that he loves us, he also provides for us. But we have to abide in it. And how do we abide in it? He tells us, obey his commands. Now, when you first look at that, when I hear the word command or commandment, what comes to mind? The Ten Commandments, right? Don't do this. Don't do that. Do this. Do that. You know, and right away, that's what comes to mind. But he actually defines what he's talking about with the commandments. And you know what he says? not only to love God, but to love those around us. And Jesus elsewhere in Scripture took those Ten Commandments, condensed it down, and he said, this is the Ten Commandments condensed down. Love God and love others. And if you do those two things, you'll fulfill all the other commandments. Isn't that a lot easier to memorize those two things? In other words, love God, love others. Okay, I got it covered. Rather than trying to remember all the other things. And in a sense, if you do those two things, you fulfill all the other things. But here's the thing. The word commandment here isn't really speaking of the Ten Commandments. The word can actually be translated prescription. So literally, Jesus is saying, if you love me, you will follow my prescription. So what is his prescription? It's his word. Now, here's the problem for you and I. We go to the doctor, right? We're sick. And so we go to the doctor, and what does the doctor do? Writes out a prescription, right? And he gives it to you. And the idea is you take that prescription, and what is it supposed to do? Make you healthy, right? All right. How many people have actually looked at the bottle? You know, you have to take a magnifying glass to do it. But have you ever looked at the bottle of pills or the liquid that the doctor's given you? And, you know, it tells you what it's for. And then it tells you all the lists, the side effects. And it's that great big long list in super fine print. And it goes on and on and on. You know, it could cause this, you know, hives. It causes swelling, cause this and that. And then at the very end, what's the last line always on the side effects? Death. Could cause death. So, you know, you look at this and it's like, well, hold it. The cure is worse than the sickness. Like, I'm not sure whether I want to take this or not. And in fact, how many of us have started taking a prescription, maybe the side effects got really bad, and or we got better, and what did we do? Stop taking it, right? And then you know what happens, right? If it was an infection, it usually comes back worse, and you got to get more powerful medicine to try to fix it because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. Here's my point in bringing all that up. Sometimes you and I equate God's prescription to like a doctor's prescription. It's like the doctor sort of knows what he's doing. He's doing a best guess. Here's something I think will help you. And we kind of take God's prescription like that. We kind of take it like as advice rather than actually, this is the cure. We cannot compare a doctor's prescription, as good as that doctor might be, to God's prescription. Here's why. We sang it in one of the songs. One of the taglines of the song said, God who always was and is and always shall be. You see, God doesn't live in our time. And so when he prescribes something to you and I, he's already been in the future. He knows what cure you need. And so when he prescribes something, it will work. No side effects. Well, no bad side effects. You know what the side effect is? Let me tell you the side effect of taking God's prescription. Joy. That's the side effect. Now, you'll notice in that scripture, if you put it back up again, in verse 11, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. There's actually two kinds of joy there. There's Jesus' joy, in other words, his joy, and your joy. And they come together. You see, when we follow God's word, when we walk in his love, and do his prescription, follow the commandments, that brings joy to him. And in it bringing joy to him, the side effect, or the cure, so to speak, is joy for you and I. Now again, joy and happiness is quite different. Happiness is very shallow, because again, it's connected to our emotions. Where joy is deeper, it transcends natural understanding. And here's the thing, if you want to look at it this way, happiness is short term, joy is long term. And can I tell you, God is in this for the long term. He's in it for eternity. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've had people come to me and they're in a bad place. And they say to me, and I'm talking with them, and they blurt this line out. And it just makes me hurt on the inside so much. But they're in a bad place. And they say, but doesn't God want me to be happy? And my heart just breaks, because what they're really saying is, doesn't God want me to feel good? And the short answer is, yeah, he does. But not at the expense of your long-term joy. See, that's the catch to all of this. And so if you're thinking in your mind and doing things you ought not to be doing with the idea, well, God wants me to be happy. God wants me to feel good. Here's the problem. that could kill you in the long haul. Think of a person taking opioids or some other illicit drug that they shouldn't be taking. And it may make them feel good, give them that euphoria for those few minutes or that half an hour, right? But what's it doing? It's killing your heart. It's messing up your arteries. It's affecting your brain. You're going to die from it. Eventually, if you keep doing that, it will long-term kill you. And so when God says that he wants to give you unending joy, he's talking about beyond the emotions and feelings of the moment, but into eternity. And when we begin to understand that, happiness can be a part of the equation, but it happens afterward. In other words, our emotions and our feelings, when we experience the joy of the Lord, then all of a sudden, then we do get happy. But it has to go in that direction. So if you ever hear yourself inside your brain saying, but doesn't God want me to be happy? Slap yourself, okay? Just slap yourself. No, he wants me to have joy. And it's different. Joy is different. Yeah, I hear slapping happen right all through the sanctuary. If you're at home, slap somebody. Nobody will know. Use a newspaper so I won't leave any bruises. You can do it that way. All right. So here's the thing. How is happiness and joy different? Here it is. In Galatians 5, verse 22, it says this: the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So joy is actually a fruit of the Spirit. And that makes it quite different. So I'm thinking about this list, and I realize from other places in Scripture that lists are not like shopping lists. You know, if I go to the store and Sandra gives me a list, it doesn't matter if I get the eggs first or the milk. It doesn't, as long as I bring it all home, happy wife, happy life, all right? That's the important part. Or I'm making another trip. So the point, it doesn't matter what order, as long as the eggs aren't underneath something heavy and they're all broken. That's got to put them on top. But the point is, it doesn't matter what order. But here's the thing, there are no shopping lists in the Bible. I believe that that order of the fruit of the Spirit has a priority to it. There's something there that I want you to see. And I only want to just touch on this to maybe cause you to see something a little differently. So I want to look at the first three: love, joy, and peace. And I think they'll put it up there. I believe that it's like a set of stairs. You go from love to joy to peace. Now, we all understand love, I believe. We've talked about that, the unconditional love of God. We got that. Let's talk about peace for a minute. I believe that peace is easier to understand than joy. There's two definitions for peace. The world's definition for peace is an absence of war. In other words, it's an external thing. In other words, as long as you're peaceful with the nations around you and peaceful with maybe your neighbors and those kinds of things, that's the peace that the world talks about. But the biblical definition of peace is actually an internal, an inside kind of peace. It's the kind of peace that when you lay your head down at night, that you're not warring on the inside and worried and confused about different things. You're at peace, and it's internal. Now, if we're going to look at this as a stepping stone, let me ask you this. How many people want peace? We all want peace. And in fact, it's interesting, when the angels came, you had the one angel saying, look at Jesus is going to bring joy to all people. And then the heavenly host came, and then what did they say? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. So we can see that it goes from joy to peace. And in fact, God so loved the world that he what? Gave Jesus. And so we actually see love, joy, and peace at work. Here's the problem. For most of us, we insert happiness in the spot of joy. And in doing that, we will never get to peace. Because here's the thing. Happiness is not joy. Joy is not happiness. And so we need to understand that joy is of the Spirit. In fact, in some versions of the Bible, when you read it, when it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it goes on, when it, after the word love, it's a semicolon. So it actually could mean this, that the fruit of the Spirit is love manifested as joy, peace, patience. In other words, love is all-encompassing. Without the foundation of love, none of this works. And so God wants us to experience his love, and then through that, come to a place of joy, and then with that comes peace. And happiness can't fit into that equation, because if it does, you will never get to peace. How many people want absolute peace in your life? I think more than ever now, the church, and when I say the church, I'm not talking about just Reach Out Church, but the church universal can show the world what it is to be a true biblical believer. In other words, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the fear, in the midst of the uncertainty, that we can rise up and have joy, unspeakable joy or ununderstandable joy. And people can say, why is it that you're okay? Why is it that you can still function? Why is it that you're not freaking out like I am? And we can tell them that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We're going to talk about that more in a few moments. So how does this thing work? You know, so far we've kind of defined, like, and so you're like, yeah, okay, you're telling me I got to have joy. Okay, what do I do? Well, in the Bible, James actually tells us how to deal with this. This is James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, he says this in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I really don't like this verse in the Bible. I remember as a young person reading it saying, look at, and I would insert happy in this because, again, I didn't know the difference. I'm like, God, you want me to be happy when I'm being persecuted, when I'm going through difficult times? How many people had trouble with this scripture when they would read it? I don't know, but I certainly did. It bothered me. It's like, come on. But when, as I come to a place of understanding what joy is, I understand why this is in here. It's in here for your benefit and for mine. Really, what James is saying is that your life and my life is not to be a roller coaster of emotions. We're not supposed to be happy one day and unhappy the next, and our whole lives goes up and down like this roller coaster. But rather, we're to exhibit joy. So how does this work? So you pop that scripture back up again. He says, count it all joy. Okay, so that doesn't mean count as in, okay, I've got three bad circumstances. Okay, one circumstance, two. He doesn't mean count like that. That word count actually means this in the original Greek, to lead or to command. So let's look at this using those definitions. So my brethren, lead in all joy. Let's do it a different way. Brethren, command joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So does that mean that God wants us to be, I'm just so happy I'm going through this horrible thing in my life, and go around with a big smile and singing a tune? You know, that's not, you know, God's not sadistic like that. That's not what he's looking for. But what he is looking for is that deep down on the inside, you're looking past the temporary little event that's going on, seeing past that and seeing into eternity that everything's going to be okay. You see, you and I can never have joy if we're short-sighted. If you're just looking at the circumstances that you're in right now, you will never have joy. You've got to be able to look beyond it. Jesus was the greatest example of that. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And it wasn't like Jesus, as he's being nailed to the cross, he's smiling at the soldiers, saying, yeah, bring it on, man. You know, oh, I'm just so happy to do this. He wasn't doing that at all. But rather, in his mind, in his heart, in his spirit, he was looking beyond to your faces and to my face, saying, for the joy of them, I'm going to give my life. I'm going to be sacrificial. And so often, we as believers are not being sacrificial now because we don't understand that it's for the joy that's down the road. Because, again, we're living by feelings and by emotions. We're in that I want to be happy mode and missing out on the joy of the Lord, which, by the way, is defined as this. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, it's not happiness isn't your strength. In fact, that's a weakness. The joy of the Lord is to be our strength. So what gave Jesus the greatest joy of all? There's only one place in the Bible where it says that Jesus was joyful. Can we take a look at this? And then we're going to bring this to a conclusion. It's in Luke chapter 10. And just as you're turning there and going there on your apps, in Luke chapter 9, Jesus sends out his 12 disciples to go out and preach the gospel and to heal the sick and do all that. And they come back and it's like, it's awesome. Hey, this was great. So he sends out 70 more. He sends those guys out plus more, you know, multiplication. And they go out and they return. So we're picking up in Luke 10, verse 17. It says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice or have joy because your names are written in heaven. Verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirits, the only place in the Bible where this happens. And he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. So as we look at this scripture, you know, that all the disciples, they're like full of joy. They're like, man, we saw demons come out of people. We saw healings and all that. And Jesus says, don't rejoice in that. In other words, that's not a priority. It's okay. But what does he say to rejoice in or have joy in? That their names are written in the book of life. That they're saved. That they're born again. That they've experienced that encounter with Jesus. And I pray that all the people that are here and those that are watching online have had that encounter and experienced that first time joy of the Lord. Now, I'm going to show you something. I have a 54-second video clip. Now, when you watch it at first, you're going to wonder why I'm showing this video. There is method in my madness, I promise you. It is a little gory at the start, but let me promise you, it ends well. Okay? Happy ending. Just remember that. Let's have some joy in this. Don't look at it and get all emotional at the short part. It has a good, joyous ending. And we're going to connect this all together. And while that's happening, Karen, you want to come up, and we're going to play here in a few minutes. So watch the video, and we'll talk about it.
Surveillance cameras caught an amazing rescue in Florida, and we assure you it has a happy ending. A man was with his new puppy next to a pond when an alligator grabbed it and then went back into the water. The man immediately jumped in and pulled the gator to shore. The puppy's owner wrenched the alligator's jaws open, and the puppy escaped. Gunner the dog, we're happy to say, doing just fine now, and his owner too. Wildlife officials say it is a good reminder always to be careful with your pets in areas where alligators live. Astonishing.
All right, so I'm watching this thing, and I had a God moment. You know what God said to me? You're that puppy. We were all drowning in our sins. The enemy had hold of us. And we have been rescued by the Lord Jesus Christ and set free. Can you imagine how much joy was on that puppy? You know, as he is leaving and running up the hill, he's like, I thought I was a goner. Okay, you get what I'm saying? You and I were goners. Sister, so no matter how bad it is right now, what's going on? Listen, it's all going to be fine. It's all going to be fine. Why? Because we have been rescued by the Lord Jesus Christ. And our joy is not dependent upon our temporary circumstances, but upon the eternal promise that we have everlasting life in heaven. Amen? And that God is with us here, and he will help us walk through this. Can I tell you, I know there's lots of doom and gloom people. You know, this is the end. Blah, you know, and they're all freaking out. Listen, this is not the end. We will get through this. We will come out the other side, the stronger for it. Those that are willing to choose joy. How many people want to choose joy today? Amen. Let's stand together. We get to experience joy through our salvation. And how do we do that? By celebrating communion together. The whole idea of communion is to remind us of the joy of our salvation. So listen, I know some of you, you're going through some difficult times right now. But I want to assure you, it's going to be okay as long as you trust in the Lord. And let his joy be your strength. Amen? Amen. You can just play and just everyone, you know, I know this little communion thing is difficult. So it's the clear part you peel back. I know it can be difficult. How's everyone doing? You getting it figured out? All right. So you should get the wafer out, rescue that wafer from under that plastic. Thank you, Lord. You were that puppy. That little puppy didn't know any better. Walking along the shore, alligator come out, grabbed him, dragged him under the water. It was the end till that man went in. In fact, I listened to the interview and the puppy just had one little scratch. But the man, his hands were all scarred by the teeth of the alligator. In fact, he was all bandaged up. Just like Jesus. We got out of it with hardly a scratch, but he paid the ultimate price. He gave his life for for you and I. So as we take this wafer and break it in half, Jesus' body was broken for you. He went in harm's way to rescue you, to set you free, so that you can walk in the joy of the Lord. See, you might not have anything else to be joyful at this moment in time, but you can have joy in your salvation. And can I tell you that that joy can be contagious? There are people all around us right now in this dark time that need to hear about the love of God. So they may be having a bad day and say, man, nothing good is happening. I hear people say that all the time. I see it online posted. How about this? Come up to that friend and say, how about I tell you a happy story, a joyful story? And just share your story of encountering Jesus. That could change a person's life. If you're watching online and you don't know Jesus, let me tell you something. You need Jesus. And it's as simple as asking him into your heart right now, right where you are. Just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm drowning. Just like that puppy, I'm drowning. I need someone to rescue me. And you are my rescuer, Jesus. Come into my heart and save me. That's all you need to do. It's that simple. Not complicated at all. For that puppy, he didn't really do anything, did he? Other than to run away after he got set free. Let's run with Jesus, amen, in the joy of the Lord. So as we take this wafer, we thank you, Lord, for your body being broken, of you surrendering and giving your life on the cross of Calvary, that we might have everlasting life. Let's take it, eat it together. I know that there are whole groups of Christians that say we should not celebrate the birth of Jesus. You know, it's all about his death. I get it. I understand why they say that. Because his death is the most important part. But I got news for those people. If Jesus wasn't born, he couldn't die. And if we weren't to celebrate it, then why were the angels celebrating when he was born? You get what I'm saying? So let's just, you know, use some common sense here. I think that we need to celebrate him coming into the world. Obviously, it's not as important as him giving his life, but he had to come so he could die. And he came so that he could establish a covenant, an agreement with mankind. He exchanged our sins for his righteousness so that we would not be condemned when we stand before our Lord. So as you drink this grape juice, it's to remind us of his shed blood. That's what this is all about this morning. So that we could be set free and experience the joy of the Lord. So as you drink this, see it as more than grape juice. See it as representing an agreement that God made with mankind, that we could be born again and live with him forever. Let's drink together. Lord, we thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for those that have watched online, those who have attended physically to the services. I speak a blessing over them, Lord God. I speak protection over them, Lord God, health-wise. That, Lord God, that we could continue to be a light during this dark season of time. That, Lord God, we'd be reminded that it is Emmanuel, a time that God is with us, a special time of celebration. It's interesting, Lord, that Christmas season is during the darkest time of the year here in the northern hemisphere. But that means we can shine the brightest. And so, Lord, I pray that each person goes out as a light for you, walking in the joy of the Lord. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If anyone would like prayer, we're here to pray for you. God bless you this morning.